Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you and welcome again to another episode of Wim Hof Wednesday. Today we have a very special guest, not only to me, but to many people in this room, Chuck McGee III. He is, I'm going to start off with some facts, type 1 diabetic and traumatic brain injury survivor. Yes, and a Wim Hof level 2 instructor, and an Oxygen Advantage instructor, and a father, a man who has not only helped me, but hundreds of people around the world. 6 years ago, he was introduced to the Wim Hof Method, and after feeling the benefits and the massive shifts to his life, he switched professions and dedicated his life to this. Today, he's going to be sharing with us a wonderful speech titled Cultivating the Third Pillar. Let me repeat that. Cultivating the Third Pillar, what mindset means and how to work with a client's current mindset and evolving it into a more beneficial state. Chuck, I want to thank you for being my mentor 4 years ago at the expedition, Michal's mentor, and now the people in our room and anyone who's going to watch the recording. So everyone, please unmute yourself and grab your right hand and your left hand and then bang it together. Thank you so much, Chuck, for being here.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear you. What you got to say?
Well, it's the third pillar is always kind of shifty. You know, what exactly is mindset? What is mindfulness? I had a huge issue with mindfulness. I could sit and tell you that I was pissed off. Now what? What do I do? I'm angry. I have mindfully noticed that my emotions are shit. Okay, what do I do now? And people say, oh, you just relax. And that would make my eye twitch because I was so angry and upset. How do I relax into that state? And that's where something like the Wim Hof Method really, really is amazing for me, because I can dive into that stress. I can push myself further into that stressed out state and come out the other side relaxed, having my mind be calmer at the end because of the choice I made, not in spite of the choices I've made. And when you work with clients, you know, you're like, I want them to have that breakthrough. Okay, but that's your want. That's not necessarily what's best for the client at the moment. If they're not emotionally ready to have a breakthrough, that's not helpful for them. That can actually be quite terrifying and set them back a little bit. So to augment the third pillar, the mindset pillar, there's a practice I use called ACT. It stands for Acceptance and Commitment Training, or Acceptance and Commitment Therapy. There is no certification program for ACT. You can get the book ACT Made Simple, second edition by Russ Harris off, you know, Amazon or any of your local bookstores. And it's all about psychological flexibility, leaning into those psychologically flexible states rather than following these rigid rule-based behaviors that have been kind of plaguing your life up until this point. So I will never tell someone, stop doing what you're doing, because the brain's instantly going to put up some defenses. It's going to stop listening to me and it's going to say, well, no, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. You're now attacking me. So I try and get my clients to evolve their behavior 1 or 2 degrees at a time. If they're looking for that, you know, 180 degree shift, maybe we need to take 180 steps to get there, but we'll get there. We'll evolve to that point. Find out their values, find out their beliefs, and see what we can do to change their behavior in a beneficial way, not to what I think is best, but what is actually going to be best for them. Listening to them, and this is hard in a one-off workshop, to give all of your clients that you know, care and time they're gonna need, but we can do our best if we're the open book. If we show them that we're vulnerable, that we ourselves make mistakes. I joke in my workshops that for the past 6 years, every time I take an ice bath, I still say, oh, fuck me, every time I get in the water. It's never easy getting in an ice bath, but it's worth it. And if someone says, well, I'm so scared, I see myself in the water, it's so cold. And it's like, well, finish the story. You've stopped telling the story where you're at the hardest part. Yeah, that's scary. Can you finish telling the story where you get out and you feel better? Your story has an end and it's not sitting in the ice. I promise we're not going to leave you there. But that's one of the first steps to show them that their mind isn't necessarily working in their favor, that the stories they tell don't necessarily have an effect on reality. The most number one thing I hear from people who get out of an ice bath is, that wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Every time they get out and they're just like, whoa, that was easier. And yet your mind is so strong, it can convince you that what you're about to do is terrifying, when really it's just cold water. If you've lived more than 20 or 30 years in your life, and even more than 10 for some people, you've dealt with some gnarly stuff. Is cold water really that much more difficult than some of the stuff you've dealt with in your life? So it's just cold water. And if you don't like it, we can get out. And what's great about leaning into that flexible mindset is if they get into the cold and they find that calm breath with your coaching, and you're guiding them through and they're slowing their breath down, and you tell them, so if you can find your calm breath in this stressful state, imagine where else you can take that skill. By practicing it again and again and again and making it a part of your daily habit, you're leaning into that flexible mindset. You're going to be able to meet that stress when it hits you. And now if I say the words, oh, fuck me, anywhere in my life, I instantly turn it into a figurative ice bath. I don't have to remember how to calm down or figure out how to calm down in the situation. I know how to calm down in a stressful state. I can take that skill with me anywhere. So getting them to use that stress to their advantage, getting them to reacquaint themselves with their emotions. You know, I've had clients who say, well, they say, let go of that. Don't let go of it. If you've been through trauma and been through pain, it's almost impossible to let it go. But if I were to use an analogy as to what ACT is and why it's so powerful, if you're stuck in the center of the ocean and you have a beach ball, and that beach ball is your emotions, you can do what most people do and hold it out in front of you and keep it at a distance because it's not palatable. Some of it might be anger, some of it might be fear. Sure, happiness and contentment's in there sometimes, but most of all, you want your emotions out here where they're distant from you. That clouds my field of view. This gets exhausting. Now, I can try and push it underneath me and hold myself up a little bit and float a little bit more. But if I stop focusing on that hold, that ball's going to come up and hit me in the face, and suddenly my emotions have smacked me and I have to deal with them. I can try and put it behind me and put it in a backpack, but it's awkward to carry and it puts my face down in the water. Or I can take that beach ball of emotions, no matter how good or bad they are, and hold them close. And as the waves rise and fall, I rise and fall with them. I can keep my breath calm in that situation. I can't predict the rise and fall of the ocean in life, but I can keep my breath calm in that ocean of life. No matter what's coming at me, because I've practiced with the ice, because I take the time and attention to focus on working with the uncomfortable, when the uncomfortable happens unexpectedly, I can breathe calmly into it and accept the world for what it is. And most of the anxiety and stress my clients have are because reality isn't the way they want it to be. They have discord between the thoughts they wish everything to be and the reality of what actually is. And this brings a lot of discomfort and a lot of resentment. And I, as a type 1 diabetic, I have the joy of dealing with depression that just hits me because my blood sugar spikes. I had a traumatic brain injury in 2018. And as a result of that, for a couple months, I forgot I was a Wim Hof Method instructor. I forgot I even taught breath work. I kind of forgot how to be a human and had to relearn how to do that. And the biggest bone of contention I had was waiting for who I thought I was to come back, not realizing that I could make that a goal to set in the future of something to aspire to, not something to wait for. So rather than wait for these things to happen, take little steps and work towards them. And instead of trying to be afraid of these emotions when they hit me, this stress, this anxiety, this depression, you accept it when it's there. If you've lived through trauma and you've lived through pain, and you have a moment where it hits you and you're like, oh, I got to keep it away. And you spend all day trying to keep that emotion at bay. At the end of the day, when you're exhausted, it's going to hit you anyway. And it's going to be that much harder to deal with. So getting them to cultivate the fact that all emotions are okay. And emotions are temporary. You are not your emotions. You're not your thoughts. You're not your pain. I've worked for the past 3.5 years at a functional restorative pain therapy clinic. Some people carry their pain like it's what defines them as who they are as a human being. Without their pain, they wouldn't be special. No one would pay attention to them. That's just another false story about how they're stuck in an ice bath. But if I were to say, that's a terrible thought, that's not going to get through to them. But if I say, so how's that helping you? Is that serving you to reach the values you've talked with me about? If that doesn't, so what steps would we have to take minimally to shift you in the direction where that does embrace your values? And this is where ACT is so powerful. is you always meet your client where they're at, despite the preconceived notions of where you think they should be. And we all fall into that. As instructors, we're just like, do the breath work, get in the cold water, you'll feel better, I promise. But if someone's been in pain for years, they've tried so many things, that sounds and rings like false hope that they've been given before. So I won't say feel better. I'll say, you know, you can take an ice bath and it'll help in the moment. You can do the breath work and it'll help in the moment. And if you stop, it'll cease being helpful. You have to take the time and attention to dedicate it towards yourself. You have to cultivate that mindset to do this every day because you're worth it. And that's the catch. A lot of our clients will feel good after 2 or 3 weeks and then they fall off the wagon because, oh, I feel better. And then when they have the relapse of their pain, their stress, their anxiety, they don't remember they already know how to help deal with it. So getting them to, you know, after a workshop, send out an email. Hey, I hope you guys are practicing. You know, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. You know, offer your one-on-one coaching sessions at that point. They're going to want to talk to you. They're going to need more clarity on this new thing you taught them. Remember when you found the Wim Hof method and how amazing that was for you? It's nice to have that mentor that your instructor can provide. Of course, do workshops for people, but offer them a little bit more at the end. Offer them a community. And, you know, point them to the Wim Hof Method page so that they can have that community with other people who are just as excited as they are, and they can share that joy and that mental mindset with other people. We're stronger as a team. We're tribal people. We need that tribe. And by meeting them where they're at, by accepting them where they're at, and finding the path that works well for them. With someone with anxiety, they've talked about in-mouth, out-mouth breathing. That could lead to an anxiety or panic attack or even induce an asthma attack. Start them in nose, out nose. Start them slow. And once they get used to those feelings and they can kind of feel those sensations as they're building and they can calmly react to them, maybe have them go a bit deeper. But there's no one size fits all for every single person. I mean, all it says is, you know, 30 to 40 continuous breaths, exhale and hold. Inhale and hold for 10 or 15 seconds, repeat 3 to 5 times. There's a lot in there that we can adjust for each person. And it doesn't have to be this dogmatic practice. You can have the flexibility working within the parameters we have to give them way more freedom than they even realize. And once they feel that change within themselves, they're going to want to go for that again and again and again. And that's where we can step in and help them out with that. We can help them continue their mindset cultivation. We can help them with the community aspect. We can help them answer their questions. But that does take your time and attention. So you have to be aware that you can't give too much of that away for yourself, or you begin losing, you know, time you could be making on clients. So it's all a balance. And that's also the mindset cultivation I try and teach my clients is balance. If you're depressed and they say, I want to be happy, you're asking to be at the opposite end of emotional spectrums. That's exhausting. Well, how about we show you this method and I show you how to be balanced and calm. And when these situations arise and any emotion comes at you, you can accept it, live in that moment and let it pass you by and fully embrace it for the time and not hold on to it so tightly so that when it leaves you just wrecked. So I'm not gonna say I don't get angry, because I do. I'm not going to say I don't remember some of the trauma from my past, because I do. But by practicing ACT and practicing the Wim Hof method, I'm not angry as long. That trauma doesn't sit with me as long. I feel it and then I let it go because I don't need it to define who I am. And a lot of the people we work with define who they are by the maladies they have. Can you imagine defining who you are as a person by the pain you carry, by what's wrong with you? Helping them reframe that to see that you're not your pain, you're not that trauma, you're not that athlete, you're just a person, and you're all of these things at the same time, it's kind of freeing. You can show them, you know, take that step back, reframe it. Are you looking at the world through a force perspective? You know, do you see a big foot coming down on you about to crush you? And you've probably twisted your body in such a way to see that terrible, terrible view on reality. If you take one or two steps back, just one or two, you can see the world in a whole new light. And that's what I love about this method, is it can teach people in that stressful state to take a step back, to surrender to that moment, to feel that. And you know, I tell people as they're doing their breath work, there's no right or wrong emotion or sensation. There's just right now. Just breathe. Can you step out of your own way and just breathe? There's no rhythm you have to breathe. There's no pace you have to keep. It's just in and out. Whatever comes forward is going to come forward. Can you give yourself the space to allow that? Most people never give themselves the freedom to feel what they call the dark emotions. They try and avoid them, and then it hits them like a ton of bricks. And holding the space and giving people permission to feel anything and everything, that's where we can come in and really help them on their next step in life. Or we can't. If we're not the right coach, find a coach that can help them. You have to accept that we cannot help everyone who comes to us. But I bet someone in this room can, or someone watching can. And that's where the power of this community is so incredible. If I can't help someone, none of you are my competition. We're all working together for the same goal. I'm not competing with any other instructor. That's ridiculous. We're all colleagues. And as the ocean rises, all boats float. It doesn't bother me. Well, you didn't help that person. Yeah, but you know what? If I have a fireman come to me and they say, and they're super stressed, I'm probably going to send them to Aaron Quinn in San Francisco or Matt Walsh. I bet they have a better understanding of what that person needs than I do, having never been a fireman. Now, if you're a bartender or worked in the theater, I got you. But it all depends. Everyone's got a different skill set, and that's what makes us all so powerful. And unfortunately, I have a practical knowledge of depression, a practical understanding of traumatic brain injuries and pain and anxiety. It's not so much theoretical for me. I wish it was book knowledge. That would make my life a hell of a lot easier. But that practical knowledge has given me that understanding to move in this area. So, you know, one of my favorite things to do is find a psychologist and talk about how breathwork is a great in addition to psychology, not instead of. And if you're trying to work with anyone, just let them know that this practice itself is never instead of. It's in addition to. This is a lifestyle choice that you have to add into what you're doing. This is not meant to replace medicine. This is not meant to replace therapy. But damn, does it help. And by becoming comfortable in the uncomfortable in the ice, by leading into that stress state in the breath work, you can teach people to develop that flexible mindset. And by having a tool like ACT, you have the tools to give them to learn that flexible mindset. And this is why I believe what we do is so necessary right now, because for some reason, the whole world is really stressed out. And they've got a lot of forced perspectives going on. There's a lot of fear and stress going on. And to meet them where they're at and be like, you don't have to feel this much stress. You can feel it for a moment, let it hit you, but there's a way to relieve some of that. And to give them those tools is incredible, but it's not our responsibility to make sure they use them. And you can't carry that weight of why doesn't my family member want to do this? Why don't my friends want to breathe with me? Why aren't they listening? You're going to drive yourself crazy trying to figure out that why. If they don't want to listen, it may not be time. Always leave your door open for them. But you've got to keep moving for yourself, and you've got to keep finding those clients who will listen and who you can help. And, you know, if your mom or dad doesn't want to listen to you, send them to someone else who will. Take that risk. Find friends. You're like, no, you got to talk to that guy. You're not going to listen to me. You remember that time in college where I did that stupid thing? My authority is wrecked with you for the rest of my life. So you're going to have to send them to another person. And that may be hard, because your ego is going to be like, no, we can help them. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. Maybe you have to lean into that uncomfortable space and send them somewhere else, because that's your figurative ice bath you have to take today. But that's my 20 minutes on mindset.
Wow, Weewa, thank you so much. I think everyone here can agree that was a wonderful talk filled with empathy, vulnerability, great insight and thoughts. And yeah, you really hit the nail on the head when it comes to finishing the story, when it comes to people in the ice bath and say, you didn't finish that story yet. And a lot of people that may be watching this in the near future, I'm sure you already know, Chuck, there's a lot of new instructors coming down the pipeline. And I think that after the master's module, they're going to be wondering, like, they're going to be in an ice bath. They're not finishing that story. And for example, us, many of us in here who just finished in September, you know, what advice do you give these new instructors from September and next month, or this month, actually January, and the future months who may watch this if they keep this in the library? Like, how do you help, what advice would you give them to finish that story in the ice bath?
Know what your principles and values are and don't compromise on them. That's a slippery slope. Know what your principles are, know what your values are, and you know, don't try and reinvent the wheel. I worked in theater. I worked in the bar. So who did I go talk to first to start my business? People in the bar and people in the theater, because I know what type of stress they suffer from. I'm not going to go up to a lawyer and be like, I understand you're stressed out. I don't understand. And that's a word I would say you should never use, is understand. People aren't something to be understood. They're sunsets and paintings to be appreciated. So I can appreciate you're under stress, and I may have something that might help you. Don't make these end all be all promises. I would never tell someone who is suffering, you know, from chronic pain that I can cure it. That's not true. But I do know that from the hundreds and thousands of people I've worked with in the pain clinic, that this can help if you stick to it. And it will relieve your pain. It'll bring a 5 down to a 3. It'll take a 4 down to a 2. That's a pretty huge jump for someone who's always hurting. Find the field you know what people need and go talk to them. You'll be surprised if you show you have that understanding and empathy of that field you want to help. They're going to love you. And it won't be everybody, but someone will be like, oh, you get me. People want to work with people who understand what they're going through. I don't understand what some jobs go through. I've never worked on Wall Street. I don't understand the type of stress stockbrokers have. I don't. But if you're a Wim Hof Method instructor who does, go talk to them. They need some help. If you're a fireman, talk to other firemen. If you're a police officer, talk to the police officers. Find people within your circle that already need what you know. Your skill is if they're breathing, you can probably help them. And all you have to do is make yourself available for them. Go find people who work in the field you used to work in. Because I'm sure, I mean, not everyone came from like health and wellness. So go back to the old job you might have quit, or maybe offer the job you're currently working in. Do you guys want to try this out? Let's give it a go.
That's really, really good advice. I'm definitely going to take that. And I would like to leave, you know, the stage open for anyone here who has a question, and I'm sure Chuck will be happy to answer it.
Yeah, anything's on the table. This has been my only job for 6 years. I don't have any other source of income. I make my entire living through breathwork. So that was terrifying in the beginning, but it did take a lot of work. And you can't think, for all of you newer instructors or instructors who may be struggling, it takes time. It takes time. You can't build a successful business overnight. We've got a lot of resources, and thankfully, unlike 6 years ago, the world knows about breathwork now. I can go to a random place and talk about the Wim Hof Method, and people will know what that is. Even 6 years ago, they'd be, what? That sounds crazy. And I'm not getting met with "that sounds crazy" so much anymore, which is fantastic. And networking holds the same thought in our minds as washing your hands. It's dirty. People don't like it. So if you have to go network, go for the big questions first. One of my favorite questions I was asked at an event was, what's the scariest thing in your mind? I'd never met this guy before in my life, and I wanted to talk to him more than anyone else in the room. That question, oh, wow. We're going to talk about real things. Talk about real things first and fast. And if you want to know my answer as a type 1 diabetic, is to have no medication and no food and be stuck in the middle of nowhere, because that pretty much means I'm dead. And that's what terrifies me. And I had to think about it. And when I told him, he's like, damn, I don't like spiders. And we started laughing about it, and now he's one of my clients.
because we had that laugh over something. He's like, I didn't know you were really going to answer that. Most people just say snakes. So surprise them, give them a real answer. Be vulnerable. And if someone doesn't like who you are, of course it's going to affect you. But we practice sitting in the ice. We practice being uncomfortable. It's like saying, let go of the pain. Not going to be helpful. Feel that and then let it go after you felt it. Don't let it hold power over you for an extended amount of time. You can feel that pain for a moment. Just, oh, that was uncomfortable. Oh, okay. So I can either wear my shoulders as earrings now, and now I'm uncomfortable in this room. Or I can slow down, change my posture, hold that confident pose, and step back into the place I know I need to be. I kind of went off on a tangent there, but there you go.
I love it. I love it. But please, anyone who has a question, throw it at them.
Sure. I have one. I like your thoughts on the Wim Hof method is not instead of, but in addition to, particularly as it relates to past traumas, pain, you know, a lot of the things you described. But, you know, all of our students are still deal with just living life daily, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow and the anxiety of that. So it's not something specific, but mm-hmm. it's just, you know, in general. So do you treat that any differently, or do you gear your classes towards just a kind of a generic dealing with life, you know, and what may come at you?
I like the concept of finish the story. Finish your story. And so tomorrow goes to shit. All right, you've stopped the story in the ice bath. What happens next? Well, it goes, okay, what happens next? Well, I have another day. You do. And if you're alive, your track record for bad days is 100%. Well, fucking done. Every bad day you've had, you've made it through. There'll always be another day. And, well, not always, but we hope that's what's the joy of the human ability to ignore the fact that death is ever looming. We act like we have unlimited days, and the anxiety of life is always there. You can't control what life is going to throw at you, but by practicing this on a daily basis, you can control how you react to that stimulus. I can get angry because someone cuts me off. That son of a bitch! And I can stay angry for the rest of the day because of that 1-2 second moment of someone who doesn't even acknowledge I exist. I've let someone who doesn't even know me ruin my day.
Right.
I don't love them that much. I'm not going to give them that power, that control to have that much influence over my life. I'm going to accept that that person may be an ass, or they may be in trouble, or whatever story my brain comes up with at the moment, but I'm going to turn that into a figurative ice bath. I love that term. Anytime you feel stressed or anxious, you're in a figurative ice bath. And if you've practiced the cold, you know what to do in the cold. You slow your breath down. You surrender to the moment. And you let those negative sensations pass you as you acknowledge they exist. I use metaphor a lot. Because if I give someone a rule on what they're supposed to do, there are chances that rule will fail eventually. That's just how life works. But if I tell a story about how Buddha was walking through town and a merchant was screaming at him, "We're not equal. I'm better than these people. I have more money. I have more influence. We are not the same. I am better." At the end of town, Buddha looks at him and says, "So if you were to give me a gift of gold, and I don't accept it, who does it belong to?" And the merchant says, "Well, that's mine." He goes, "Okay, I don't accept your gift of anger." And he walks away. I try and tell my clients to be aware of the gifts that other people bring you. And you don't have to accept them. You can acknowledge that they're there. You can acknowledge that your friends are in pain. But you don't have to take that pain into yourself. You can still feel empathy without feeling that negative emotion. And the risk we run as practitioners is we will hear traumatic things. And those traumatic things can deeply affect us. And we don't, you know, that's not to say you shouldn't give it the time it needs, but you don't have to carry their pain with you. That's an extra weight you don't need to bear. So while you can congratulate them for being willing and vulnerable to share the gift of their trauma, you don't have to take that gift into yourself. And that's my anxiety. I have lots of funny quotes, and anxiety is just excitement without proper breath. So if you find yourself being anxious, what are you excited for? Slow your breath down, step into that state and be anxious. Finish the story. So you're anxious. Okay, now what? Well, so rather than figuring out why, what would you rather do? Would you rather stay anxious? So if you'd rather stay anxious, just breathe like that. Man, you'll be in that state all day long. If you'd like to step out of it, maybe you could slow it down. Stand up straight, keep your chin parallel, rotate your arms so your palms sit forward, so your shoulders go back. Take some nice, big, solid, deep breaths in and out through the nose. Five of those. Give them exercises that they can practice throughout the day to show them just how powerful their breath can be. And well, what if I need to do the Wim Hof method 3 times a day? Then do it 3 times a day. If that's what you find respite and joy and comfort in, then do it. I'm not saying sit on a subway train and lay on the floor. That's not an appropriate position for that. But, you know, do what you need to do for you, and don't be afraid to ask for a little time if you need it. But that again is a hard mindset for people to cultivate, because they feel they have to ask for something for them from others. And at that point, you're going to need more than 1 or 2 workshops with that person. Yeah. And maybe find a psychologist they're working with, or team up with a psychologist and be like, hey, let's see if this will work. Do you want to work? Can I work with some of your patients? And we'll talk about breath. You handle any of the emotional things. I'll handle the physiological stuff. Find your team. We are more powerful together. And we all have skills we can lend each other. That's why I love the fact that we have an instructor group this powerful and strong. Is because everyone brings that piece of the pie to it. And if you realize that we're stronger together, and it's not all about you helping everyone, our resources are almost limitless. And not you, I didn't mean to like say Don you, but just the ephemeral.
Sure. Right.
That help at all? I hope so.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely.
Hey, Chuck, but, I really like how you mentioned how anxiousness or anxiety is like excitement without the fun, you know. It's because my wife is, when she's excited, like let's say she got accepted into a program, and she's very similar, like forgetful or fidgety or doesn't know where things are when she's so excited. But I want her to experience that for as long as she can. But when you notice, it's a similar reaction, the breath. And I really appreciate how you mentioned that. And making others, especially our participants, realize like, hey, it's an experience that you choose to feel for as long as you want to feel, whether it's the excitement or the anxiety. But even when my son starts to cry, I'm like, you're allowed to cry. I'm not the guy who's like, hey, don't whine. There's no crying in baseball. You know, I'm not that guy. I'm not Tom Hanks. Who screams that? I'm the guy who's like, hey, you can feel that. But I really like how you pinpointed it with this, your funny quote of, you know, anxiety is just excitement without the fun. It's so true. And making people realize that it's a choice if they please. I know not everyone has the choice. So let's be honest. Not every single person can choose to experience the emotion and let it pass and then move on. But for the ones who have teams, like you said, they could possibly use it in conjunction with whatever they're taking at the time. So thank you for mentioning that.
I mean, it's so much into it. My blood sugar was spiking every morning for the past like 3 or 4 years. No one knew why. No one knew why. It was spiking to dangerous levels. I finally went to a dentist who did a different type of scan, and it turned out I had 2 abscessed teeth. Two abscessed teeth that is part of the trigeminal nerve that comes down into your face, and that nerve is just sucking the poison up. So when I drink hot coffee or tea in the morning, it stimulates those abscesses and my blood sugar rises because of all the toxins my body's now absorbing. And so it's never just one thing. And what was great is they're like, well, you know, you practice this method that reduces inflammation, which is why we probably haven't seen it.
because it was flaring up, and anytime I had a flare up, I would just do a little bit more of the method. And he happened to catch it on an upswing. But I looked at my other x-rays that they'd taken, and you can't see that they're there. You can see a very minimal shadow, but unless you were looking for it, you wouldn't know that those were two abscessed teeth. So it's we need that team. We need the whole scope. Like at the pain clinics I work at, we've got nutritionists, psychologists, pain doctors, physical therapists, art therapy. Because that's amazing. Art therapy is just incredible. They've got a Feldenkrais instructor. It's all of these things together help somebody, because someone's not going to like this. Someone's not going to like that. They're going to think this is better. This is more beneficial for them. It's that team that really, an ability to work within a team that will set you apart instead of thinking that you can take the world on all alone.
Thank you, Chuck. I think I saw someone else almost raise their hand. I'm not sure if it was a pump fake, Florian.
I have one follow-up basic question on what you just said. When you said you earn your living from the Wim Hof method, do you work at pain clinics as a Wim Hof instructor? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep.
Oh,
I work at two pain clinics. They're part of my income. I work at two pain clinics applying the Wim Hof method to people in chronic pain. And at some point you have to realize that, you know, if someone's doing that heavy breathing we do, their muscles might cramp. So no matter where we're at, it's time to hold your breath at that point. And, you know, we've worked with so many people in the ice baths, the getting them to breathe correctly. So if they've got pain, they've been isolating their muscles, they're not breathing right. You work with a physical therapist, you get those muscles loosened up, you get them to breathe correctly. You apply some of the things from Oxygen Advantage. So I do use Wim Hof for the pain clinics, but I also use Buteyko. I use Oxygen Advantage. Right. Because Wim Hof, I like to describe as the gym for the breath. And I like to take my breath to the gym every day. And Buteyko is what I do all day long while I'm not at the gym. You can't do gym exercises all day. You'll thrash your body. You have to, there's a right time and a right place for these. So getting them to use that biomechanically correct breath, encouraging them to tape their mouth shut when they sleep at night. Having them do some of those exercises they can do throughout the day. But by combining all of these methodologies together, we're just that much more powerful, because we have more facets of the gem we have to offer people. So it's not necessarily that, you know, it's Wim Hof method or nothing. That's my keystone. I really do feel that there may be a small percentage of people in the world who wouldn't benefit from it. But I feel, you know, through experience and just personal vindication, that it's a pretty awesome practice to cultivate into your everyday life. And it will have positive impacts if you can keep up with it. And then you follow it on with biomechanical breathing, proper nutrition, proper body movement, and then suddenly someone goes from, you know, coming in like this, because it's an 8-week program, to having a good posture by the end, being able to take, instead of this breath, to be able to take this breath. That's life-changing for people. And so I started making my living just doing Wim Hof. And then after my brain injury, I needed to add a couple more things to it, because the Wim Hof was great. It helped reduce a lot of my pain. It helped reduce a lot of my discomfort and inflammation. But there were other symptoms that it wasn't addressing. And we have to know the limitations of the skills we're offering. And while it is a good gym for your breath, if you don't train someone to breathe correctly, they're going to take that bad habit into their daily life and just reinforce that bad habit. So that's where, you know, learning something else. This is from Bushido, the way of the samurai. Walk and read about as many other paths as you can, just so you can know the path you're walking is the right one. And everything is just a tool for our toolbox. And we, you know, there's always, I'm full of shitty quotes as a bartender. You know, there's no knowledge that's not power. So go and learn as much as we can. And, you know, Jim Quick said, or he posted on his Instagram that, you know, it's not about how many good books you read. It's about how many good books get to you. So, you know, find that knowledge, find that information that augments the skills you need, have, and want to get better in. And then put your time and attention into honing those skills and practicing them. Because a tool that's discovered and unused isn't one you're adept at using. And every year since I was 18 years old, at the beginning of the year, I read Plato's Apology. And Plato's Apology is Socrates' speech to the Senate right before he died. And he said, well, I went to the master stonemason who said he was a master. And all I found out is he was good at working with stone. If I gave him the carpenter's tools, he'd cut himself. And the basic culmination is if you admit you know something, you lose the ability to learn. So I'm always in a state of learning and admitting I don't know what I don't know. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know even a tenth of a percentile point. So by always keeping my mind open and ready for that new piece of knowledge that may be coming my way, I can be the best instructor I can be for those around me. And so, yeah, I do make my money as a breathwork instructor now. A lot of that's one-on-one because of COVID, and that's the full body, like, you know, this is how you should be breathing. I don't tell people what they should eat. I'm not a nutritionist. I do tell people how they should stand and what posture they hold because I do work with somatics quite a bit. I you know, there are things I won't give them advice on because I just don't know. And I know enough not to be dangerous to be like, oh yeah, you need some psychological advice? I'll be your therapist. Nope. Sure. I'm not that guy. So it's hard to play that balancing card though, because people will want you to be their therapist.
Right. I love your quotes, by the way, Chuck. So you don't ever have to say they're shitty. And who in here also joins Chuck when he does his breathing deeply in? Because every single time, Chuck. So I want to thank you for those relaxation points in this combo.
Tell that to your clients.
Yeah.
Anytime you get up, anytime you go to the bathroom, put your body in that pose, take that deep breath. And they'll feel that relaxation. And they'll be like, oh, that's what he's talking about. That's what she's talking about. To, you know, step into that place, to own our breath in that moment. Give them reasons to practice it. It may be a bit Pavlovian, but I tell people, you know, this thing right here is a terrible thing, but it can be an awesome tool. I have an alarm on here 5 times a day. And when it rings, I put my posture in a good posture. I take 5 nice, deep, slow breaths, and I calm my body down. I have to remind myself to do it, because if not, I'll end up being like this all at the end of the day.
Wow. We started a little late. We have time for either one more question from our guest. And if not, I do have one stored away for anyone else. But please, if anyone wants to share one last question.
And one quick one. What was the name? Plato's
Apology.
Plato's Apology.
Plato's Apology. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And Chuck, before we do end, I mean, as far as you already kind of answered it before. So we have these new instructors coming down the pipeline. What last words would we want to say just to tell them to just jump? You have the knowledge, you have the tools. How do you just implement them? What words would you say to truly implement what they've learned?
Meet your clients where they're at. Don't put your false premises on how you think they should be on them. Don't try and reinvent the wheel and work with a field that you have no experience in. Go back to the jobs you've had. Go back to the people. I mean, maybe not the people in your direct vicinity. They might be a little bit tired of you talking about the Wim Hof by now. Because we're relentless about it. But find your tribe. Find the people that you know you can help, because you intimately know their issues. Don't try. And my big word of advice, and this is for everybody, is stop practicing trickle-down healthonomics. It's fucking ridiculous. So many people out there, I need celebrities, I need these rich clients because that's how I'm going to have the biggest effect. No, that's not. I don't post pictures of any of my clients because it doesn't matter if they're poor, they're rich, they're famous, or non-famous.
They're a human and they need your help. So you don't need to work with the rich to have the biggest impact. That'll have the biggest impact on your pocketbook. And if you want to do that, by all means, pursue it. But work with the people who you know their illnesses already. I don't work with a lot of really, I work with some athletes, but a lot of the people who are drawn to me have head injuries. They are, you know, people suffering from autoimmune illnesses. Why? Because I understand, even if it's just minutely, a little bit of what they may be feeling, and I have that little bit extra of empathy that some don't.
Yeah.
So find the group that you can help the most and go offer your services.
Chuck, I don't even think that's just for the new instructors. I think that's for anyone who's been doing this that may need that, just those words of advice. So thank you so much. And I know that you said your client list doesn't matter, but I, as far as if they're celebrity or not, but I just want everyone who's listening know that Chuck McGee was referenced in the book Breath by James Nestor. And I know that is, I'm not trying to, you know, boost your ego or put yourself out there, but I'm just trying to say, like, you know, you had an impact on someone who really needed that help. And James Nestor wrote in the book how it did have an impact on him. And the people reading that book will give Wim Hof Method a chance because of what you did, Chuck. So
thank you.
Not your mentorship to me and showing me what belly breathing was. For anyone listening or watching right now, belly breathing to me was like saying elbow breathing. I didn't understand it. Like, how do I breathe through my belly? It's like breathing through my elbow. It didn't make sense. And you, Chuck, you literally grabbed me by the belly, asking me, you said, just try to push air in there. And it worked. And now I understand what belly breathing is. And I know Michal and I know other people in here look up to you as a mentor. And I want to thank you. So from my heart to yours, from everyone in here to you and anyone watching this recording, huge, huge thank you. So
thank you, guys.
But yeah, check out his Instagram, check out his Facebook, check out his website. His website is awesome. I'm really impressed with your website. And yeah, you
know your skills. I had a smart person build it for me.
But seriously speaking, your time and your attention were genuinely appreciated by all of us, and it will have an impact on the people watching. So
the website is icedvikingbreathworks.com, or just go to ivbw.com and it'll forward you to it.
So say that again, the
IVBW. It stands for Iced Viking Breathworks.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
All right. IVBW.com. Or you can type Chuck McGee the third and you can find him the third. Well, with that being said, I want to thank everyone for coming to another Wim Hof Wednesday. And thank you, Chuck, for your time and attention and your love and your passion and your words. Everybody, I want you to unmute yourself, and I'm going to do my corny same old thing. Get your right hand, get your left hand, and please unmute yourself and bang them together. And thank you for this wonderful, wonderful talk. And
thank you, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, thank you very much. Thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, ciao, ciao. Take care, buddy. Thank you.